We're in 1 Corinthians, and we finished chapter 1 last week, and we'll be starting chapter 2 today. Title is Jesus Christ and Him Crucified. As we study the Word today, I do want to remind you why this epistle was written to the church. Why did Paul write this? And there's so many varying reasons here. But the main thing was there was division going on in the church. If you recall, there was divisions over who the people were going to follow. That was in chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Do you follow Paul? Do you follow Apollos? Do you follow Jesus? And Paul dealt with that. Paul is going to today talk about his teaching. Because as then, as is the same today, same situations, what preaching really was and sound preaching is vital. And this is important. To preach means to proclaim. So every preacher is to proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So let's read today's scriptures. Chapter 2, verse 1. Paul's writing. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony. I did not come proclaim testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So here he starts out, and in verse 1 he says, hey, I came to you, brothers, and I wasn't proclaiming the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. Back in verse 17, if you recall, just a few weeks ago, Paul said in chapter 1, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. So, sound preaching. Right there. It's not words of elegant wisdom or even philosophy or even human wisdom. It is not. Paul stresses he didn't come preaching the testimony of God with that eloquent, lofty speech. He didn't do that. When we look at the original Greek text, when it says lofty speech or eloquent speech, the Greek word there means superiority, elevation, rising above. So what's he talking about? Have you ever watched on the Discovery Channel any of those that when it deals with religious things, that the guys and their gals that will start talking and they talk like, man, I've got 40 degrees under my belt and I'm way up here and I'm going to talk to you peasants down here. Yeah, Paul didn't come talking in that kind of speech. Paul came and talked God's words. Paul is talking about words, what words they use. And I see so many times that people will use words that nobody can understand. And they're going, what? You know what? The Bible is simple. With the Holy Spirit, it is alive. And God will show you these things. Paul wasn't trying to sound like he's above the people. Never has. Sound preaching has nothing, zero, to do with human wisdom. Absolutely nothing. And what Paul is alluding to was his first visit to Corinth. When he visited Corinth, if you were looking at chapter 18, I think it is, if I'm not mistaken, when he visits Corinth and he goes through all this, he shared the gospel. the plain, simple message of the gospel, Jesus Christ. The Corinthians had heard that message. They heard the message. They heard the message of Jesus Christ and his crucifixion. And they became saved. They became saved. The Corinthian church did. What he preached, and we have to understand what Paul preached, was the testimony of God. Not any wisdom from human, not any of this philosophy. Because what he teaches, when it says the testimony of God, the actual word testimony in the Greek text, the original word that's used there, means mystery or revelation. I preach the mystery of God, the mystery of revelation of God, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. The mystery of revelation of God's plan for salvation for man. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's it. That's as simple as you can get. Understand, sound preaching is not advice on self-development or self-image or positive thinking. Boy, when I hear messages about going in and they spend, and you'll see them, TV, they'll spend time and time and time on this positive or self. No, that's wrong. It is Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's it. The answer to the world's problems is Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's not a philosophy. It's not any new idea. Oh, I got this new idea. It's the same message from the time Paul's preaching to right now. It is the same message. Preachers are to preach the testimony of God, the revelation of God, to the people, to the lost, to the ones who aren't saved. That is what we're called to do. In John 1:1, just for reference, Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. He is called that. The Bible is called the Word of God. Every word in the Bible is about God, Jesus Christ. He is the Word. What's amazing, folks, and I'll give you a little insight. Jesus Christ said, the world and all will pass away, but my word never will. So about time you think you got this semi-close to understanding and mastering, no, we're going to be learning God's word forever. What a blessing. He's going to open more doors that I never even thought about. And I think, what an awesome thing that's going to be. He is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The word of God is. In fact, actually, if you look, the last book of the Bible, it's called Revelation. 99 out of 100 people, I say, what's it about? And I go, oh, it's end times, it's apocalypse, it's all. I said, no, it isn't. The first verse says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus Christ. As preachers, we are to preach the word. I see all sorts of seminars and all this on different styles. Or whatever. Open up the book and preach the word. That's it. That's what you do. Look at 2 Timothy 4:2 for me, please. This is Timothy was understanding. Paul called him a young pastor. He was 37. 38 could have been. Paul tells him, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. That's what a preacher is to do. We're under the command here of God. Preach the word. Preach the word. Not kumbaya stories. To where after 30 or 40 minutes, and I've listened to guys, and I'll go, what are you talking about? We're to preach the word. To understand the word of God. Because what happens in verse 2, Paul says, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'll read that again, and I want you to understand as I read this again, Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The apostle, the church planter, the preacher Paul. I know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. What is the theme of the entire Bible, especially the New Testament? Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is the theme of the whole New Testament. Paul says, I decided. Now, as we read the English and we look at that, and I use an ESV, and I think it's really close, really close. And it says here, I decided. The actual Greek word means determined, made a decision. Paul says, I determined. I'm only going to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. I determined that's what I'm going to preach, is him. All of Paul's emphasis in everything throughout the scriptures, we go book by book, the emphasis is still on Jesus Christ, no matter what it is. And him crucified. So all preaching is to be on Jesus Christ. The whole New Testament. The Old Testament is like a big arrow pointing to the coming Messiah, to Jesus coming. And the New Testament, here he is, folks. Understand that preaching is to be about Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and his death. And we do that. In looking at that, and you realize our faith is in God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's it. And his death on the cross. No matter what we go through, we have salvation. No matter what we go through, we have eternal life with God. No matter the good days, the bad days, whatever. By death of Jesus on the cross, think about this. By death on Jesus on the cross, we are cleansed and free from sin, all sin. We are completely cleansed. We're free from sin. Scripture calls us that. By Jesus' death on the cross, we now have peace with God. We can approach the Father through Jesus Christ. You know, think about it, folks. You can talk to God anytime, any place, anywhere. What a blessing. And because of Jesus on the cross, we're justified by God. He sees us through his Son, Jesus Christ. We're justified. And because of Jesus Christ, we have eternal life with God. We have been freed of condemnation. We're probably real good at condemning ourselves for the things that we may have done wrong, said wrong, whatever. We're real good about that. But you've been freed from it because of Jesus. We have been delivered from the judgment and the wrath that is to come. We're not going to face it, folks. Scripture tells us God does not pour his wrath out on his children. Period. We have been delivered from this present evil. God has a way of keeping us from that evil. Thank God he does. And the list goes on and on. On and on. The list goes. This is all done by the power of God. It is the power of God. It is not man's wisdom, man's strength, man's eloquent speech. It is the power of God. We are called to preach Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. Every one of us. Every one of us. We're called to do that. We're to share that. The death of Jesus on the cross brings salvation to sinners. That's the most important thing for us. Look at Romans 5:8 for me, please. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That means you didn't have to get cleaned up to come into church. You didn't have to get cleaned up for God to accept you. You were still a sinner. Just come to God. Receive him into your life. A lot of us have done things in our lives that are not good. Oh, I better get this straightened out before I go and seek God. No. While you were still sinners, Christ died for you. That's important. That's really important. In verse 3, Paul says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. Paul, when he went to Corinth and planted the church and started all this, says he's great weakness, trembling, fear. Paul brings out that he came preaching as an insufficient human. He didn't see himself good enough. None of us are, folks. None of us are. Bear with me. This is so personal for me. I still don't understand why God called me to preach. I don't see myself good enough. In fact, I've told God so many times, there's somebody better, bring him in, Lord. I'll step aside. There's so many people that are so much better. Paul says he was weak in his body. Weak in his body, physical ailment. It should not mean anything to God's people. But somehow it did to the Corinthians when he preached. They were starting to say, well, we're going to follow this or that, and we went over that. Sometimes people can be more interested in appearance, charisma, worldly ability in preaching, rather than depth and knowledge of God. Paul, and like I say, he's the author, by the Holy Spirit, of 13 books in the New Testament. Prior to him coming to Corinth, he had been in four cities. And like I say, I encourage you guys to read Acts. It is the early church, the history of the early church. And it's fantastic. And he had faced so many great troubles in his ministry. Oh my gosh. Whipped, beaten, stoned, just on and on. And when you read Acts, you're going to see what he went through. And if you see what he went through, you'd have a tendency to maybe think he failed. I don't know a pastor yet that I haven't talked to that says, man, you feel like a failure every single day. It's very difficult. At times, you just feel like you're not getting across, that you fail. And I think this is the point where Paul, when he realized all this stuff, that he came to the conclusion, hey, I'm going to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's it. No need to appeal to worldly trends. What's the latest happening thing in the church? What new program have you got? No. Preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Preachers, so many times, feel complete failure. Complete failure. I have a survey in there that I've kept with me because it reassures me in so many ways. A survey of, 12 or 1,500 pastors and pastors only. Oh my gosh. It comforts me because a lot of things I go through, every single other guy's going through the same thing. Failure. Not good enough. Why are you standing up there preaching? And a lot of it is when you preach the gospel, the greatest news in the history of this world in mankind. And people, I was going over this again this morning, preaching. And then I had to spend a lot of time in prayer because that's why I was kind of late coming in. But I was thinking about some things. And many of you know in the sports world and things that are going on now with football and baseball, they have this term called the GOAT, G-O-A-T, greatest of all time. And they're deciding who's the greatest. And I'm going, man, it's really easy who the greatest of all time was. And when you preach the gospel, and it's always the greatest joy is as you share that preaching, and you can see that person, and I can usually tell what's happening. Their eyes never blink. They're locked on to what I'm saying. And I'll get done. I'll say, you want to ask Jesus into your life? And they say, yeah, yeah. What do I do? But I can also see when people are like, is he about wrapped up? And that can be in personal, one-on-one. And that gets to be like, Lord, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong, Lord? Lord, you got to help me because I'm failing. But understand, all sufficiency is in the Lord and Him alone. Anything done in ministry has to be done in the power of the Lord. Has to be. We're called to preach, but God is the one that changes people. The power of the Holy Spirit of God is what does the changing. And I have known what Paul is saying about here when he says he's fear and trembling. So many of my early years preaching, so many. I would come before I'd even walk in here to the point of almost vomiting. I have gotten more comfortable, I think, because I know everybody here. I know everybody. But I still become very scared about preaching God's word because we're held at a higher account. If I mess something up, I deceive or in any way not the full truth of God, I will answer for that. And so I go through great lengths to make sure I'm right on the money. I still get very nervous and very fearful. One of the most fearful times that I was thinking about was a couple of years ago. The guy in charge of the Western United States called me up and says, hey, God laid on my heart something for you. I go, cool. What's up? I need you to preach at the pastor's conference. I go, nope. Well, no, Greg, I want you to pray about it. Nope. Well, he said, will you pray? I said, sure, I'll pray. But I says, you know, Dave, I'm at a little church. Little bitty church. I'm not in the big mega churches. I know. I want you to pray about this. I said, all right, I'll pray. Hung up the phone. I said, that's it. I ain't praying. All right. I'm not going to get up there and stand and do this. Well, I happened to go walking out into the grove. That's my olive grove. I have some avocado trees, but that's my olive grove. And Jesus had the olive grove. And I start walking through there, and God goes, this is what I want you to preach on. I went, oh, Lord, no. Please, no. It took a day, and then I said, oh, gosh. Scared to death. When I went and I stood in this conference, and the things all go up like this, and here's all these preachers been preaching for 100 years and know the word 1,000 times better than I did. I had a mic that you held in your hand, no wire or nothing to it. I literally had to hold it here because I was shaking so bad. And as I started to preach, then I preached. So I still get very shaky, and all pastors deal with things indifferently. Some get very upset, some get. And what I can relate to most is what Paul told a young pastor, Timothy. Timothy was about 37, 38, and he called him a young pastor. But 1 Timothy 1:15 for me, please. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the foremost. You may think pastors are not sinful people. I'm telling you, wrong. I got called he called me at 7, told me I was going to preach, and I just kind of, okay, no. But Paul's saying, Paul, 13 books of the New Testament saying he's the worst, the foremost. Well, I feel that way, and most every pastor I know does. We feel very unqualified. We feel like we don't know enough. But we're doing it. Verse 4, he says, "And my speech and my message were not plausible words of wisdom, but demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Paul is saying this. Preachers are to preach in the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray for that every week, and I know most pastors do. In fact, my favorite verse is John 7, I'd have to look at the verse again, where it says, "Rivers of living water will flow from your heart." Not a hose bib or a trickle, rivers will flow from your heart. That's what I pray for. Paul doesn't preach words depending on overpowering with wide or persuasive arguments. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ died for sinners. And either you accept him into your life or you don't. I can't change that. I can only share that message that God gives me. Our lives, our words should focus on Jesus Christ and him crucified at all times. And when the opportunity arises, share it. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:13 for me, please. "Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak." That's a command to all of us. We believe, speak it. Share it. You believe, share the gospel. You'll say, "I'm not a good speaker." Well, let me tell you about my life. Scared to death. I would not come out in the open, stand in front of people ever. I would hide from people. God called me to preach, and I said, "There ain't no way that's happening. I'm drawing a line in the sand, God, period." Well, I had to cross over that line. It's not me or my strength. It is God. It is the Holy Spirit. Period. Our message is simple. It's God's plan for man's salvation. And that is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Which is the same for all of you in here. That's what you share. Jesus died for your sins. You can share that. He was crucified for your sins. You can share that. He was raised. And belief in him, you have eternal life. You have salvation. We can share the gospel, but understand, we cannot save anyone. I can't save anyone, nor can you. You can't do it. The Holy Spirit does the work. And it's a peculiar thing, and I haven't quite grasped it yet. God says, "I'm going to use the people to share the message, but I'm going to do all the work." And I'm like, "Lord, it'd be so much easier if you do it all, and I just go home with you, and we're all living good." But no, this is his plan. The Holy Spirit is the one who can touch your heart, not me. I'm called to share. You're called to share. The Holy Spirit has to touch your heart. If he hasn't touched your heart, ask God, "Touch my heart, please." It is the Holy Spirit's job to do the conversion. Not my job. Not your job. It's the Holy Spirit's job that does the conversion. The Holy Spirit convicts, yeah, you're a sinner. It convinces, I need salvation. And it converts a person to live for God. That's it. Only the Holy Spirit can do it. Only. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that allows us to share the gospel. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that does that. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 for me, please. "But you will receive power," that's all of you. All of us, "when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." So you're going to share the message in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. Well, we're at the end of the earth. So we have the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. We're to share it. And Paul will conclude this when he says, "So that my faith, might not rest in wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Men don't understand it. The only way they can understand it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Preaching the Word of God leads to faith in God. We don't understand, or I should say, we don't want our faith to be superficial. We don't want that. True faith doesn't come from human wisdom. It doesn't. It comes by the power of God. The faith This faith is substance of belief on Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and that's it, period. It is all that. Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God. Truly the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. All other religions are false. Period. Christianity is the only true religion of God. It is Christ and Him crucified. You can't earn your way into heaven. You can't buy your way into heaven. It's a free gift. You just have to receive it through Jesus Christ. Our faith is based on God's Spirit working in us. Only God's Spirit working in man can man reach a lost world too. So pray that the Holy Spirit will work through you to reach the lost. Do you believe all this? Do you truly believe this? I hope so. I hope so. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, or you've been goofing around, or you've been to church just to please somebody, come and talk to me. Or right now, stand up and say, I want Jesus in my life. I want Him in my life. I want the power of God in me. Paul is saying one thing. I preach Christ and Him crucified. That's what we got to remember, folks. That's what we got to remember. Let's close in prayer. Father God, I praise You and I thank You, Lord Jesus, that You, God Almighty, would touch all of our hearts. I praise You, God, that You draw us closer to You, that You would reveal more of Yourself to us, Lord. And I thank You, Lord. I praise You for the pure pleasure of being able to share Your word. And for the people here, Lord, that love You dearly, they love You, Lord. I ask for a complete blessing upon them, Lord Jesus, by the power of Your holy name, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The worship team, come forward, please.